This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I can't believe we actually waited till Thursday to do this show. Yeah. We're busy people. We don't even have the full team here today. That's how busy we are. I'm Gabe Knightson from ESPN Milwaukee with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Jay Hood on assignment, but I'm sure you already heard his thoughts if you listen to Busted Open Radio Sunday mornings, where you can listen to him 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, where he can share his thoughts with John Cena turning heel right between the legs. Quick little kick of Cody Rhodes, and just like that, 20 years of goodwill undone by John Cena.
Did you see the Guinness Book of World Records acknowledged him as the longest run as a face before turning heel? And now,
oh, wow.
Yes, so Guinness has said, like, hey, this is the world record. It has happened. Wow. John Cena is actually a heel, which is just insane to even still say a few days later.
So the question becomes, and this is the phrase that he used the last time, I guess he even talked and cut a promo, is John Cena turning heel, Brian, best for business?
Oh, it is so good and best for business, because we are seeing stuff now. Wrestling is on the upward right now, and it's in a positive trend, and you can read whatever you want about ratings, but companies are getting a lot of money to be on TV and be a pro wrestling company. This is the most national attention that we've seen pro wrestling get in a very long time. We've seen little spurts here and there, like the Bad Bunny, the Logan Paul stuff, but like, this is on First Take. This is on the Daily Show.
When Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp are yelling about this on Monday after First Take, like, yeah, just unbelievable.
The Daily Show Monday night, Jon Stewart's using it to compare it to the current American political landscape. Very good comparison, by the way. Like, the more he explained it, like, you know what? This actually does make sense.
Look, and I think technically he's a heel in the WWE universe, because the last time we saw Jon Stewart on WWE television, he turned on John Cena to make sure he did not win a WWE championship. So I think, I don't know. I don't know if he's like aligning now with John Cena. I don't know. I think that's a question that he's got to answer at some point.
The segment started, my wife goes, I wonder who backstage is a wrestling fan. I'm like, oh no, it's not backstage. It's that guy. It's Jon Stewart. Like, he is one of us.
Oh yeah, he's huge. But no, 100%. Like, this is because everything is heating up now. Not just because of The Rock, and obviously The Rock coming back and doing the stuff that they did last year with Cody Rhodes got some attention. I mean, this got even bigger attention, because now you have two of the biggest, I mean, arguably the two biggest stars that WWE has made and then had post careers. Obviously Hulk Hogan acted some, but I don't think he got to the level of Rock or even Cena. Like, Cena had his own, and I guess still has his own, DC series on Max, right? Like, I mean, Cena's been in some pretty big things, and like, to have these two back in professional wrestling aligned.
The Rock's in a Scorsese movie coming up.
Yes. And then to have Cena turn, like, something we have been waiting for at least a decade. I mean, when was the heel turn promo that he cut? That was like 2014, 2015.
Yeah. Or even like One Night Stand with RVD. Like, that was forever ago. And that's the thing. Like, from a wrestling standpoint, if it was CM Punk turning on Saturday, it would have been a fun wrestling story.
Yes.
But no one talks about it. Like, you know how it is being a wrestling fan. People know you, your friends and family. Like, oh, you're the wrestling fan. And now I've had people come up to me like, what is this I saw about John Cena? Like, he kicked Cody in the nuts. Like, yes. Like, like, it feels like a big deal, but because they know who John Cena is.
Correct. And it is a big deal, because the man has made the most, like, you want to talk about Guinness World Records. The man has the record for the most make-a-wishes. And as Jon Stewart put on The Daily Show, people would get cancer just to meet John Cena. Like, that's how many make-a-wishes, this guy has granted. Yeah. Turning his back on all of that and having it come on the heels of how long ago did he do that interview with Chris Van Vliet, where he talked about when he almost turned heel against The Rock, you know, during their feud that they had back to back years, and how everything was set and he had, you know, gear and music and he was ready to go. And obviously the trigger was never actually pulled on that one. You know, that was 13 years ago at this point. Sort of finally for them to do it. Yeah, absolutely. It's best for business. It has me excited for WrestleMania. And I said on this show that I did not want Cena to win because Cena versus Cody did nothing for me because I didn't see Cody. Like, Cena actually turning was one of those things that you talk about, right? Like as a Packers fan, right? Like, so I will relate this to what I do, you know, every day on Jen Gabe and Chewy here on 94.5 ESPN in Milwaukee. Like, we talk about, like, this fantasy of the Packers getting Max Crosby, but then ultimately he signs an extension. Like, you know it's a fantasy. You know it's not going to happen. And that's the way I kind of looked at it as seeing a heel turn. Like, right. Yeah, we can fantasy book it, but they're not actually going to do a heel turn Cena on his farewell tour. Like, there's no way that Triple H has the stones to pull that off. And sure enough, he did. And it just adds a layer of intrigue heading into now the WrestleMania season that everything is starting to pick up and everything is starting to feel pretty fun and exciting.
And kudos to him, because if this is the final year, because I feel like you almost have to speculate now whether or not we will see more Cena after 2025.
But he's a heel. He can lie now. The man can lie.
So he could have very easily just played the hits all year long, and fans would have cheered him because we haven't seen him in long, and people are behind him now. Like, he would have gotten the support that for 20 years he's really looked for. He's like, no, I'm going to try something different. I'm a little worried that fans start cheering him. And maybe he's not, like, vicious enough heel because fans find it so cool. But still, kudos for him for going this route.
Well, here's the problem. Like, and I'm willing to look over this because, again, the man's been the Guinness World Record for, right. You know, for being a babyface the longest. The man doesn't know how to look mean and menacing.
Right.
Like, it turned into a meme all over social media. But to me, it's like a high school kid who's trying to look tough in his team picture. Like, that was like the mean mug that John Cena was giving us. Like, okay, all right, okay. You know what? Hey, my only note here is, okay, let's work on that face. Let's work on that face so you can become a little bit more menacing as the bad guy here with Dwayne as you guys start this build toward WrestleMania.
So I am curious also when we get to see that. Like, when are we going to see him next? I don't think it's tomorrow on SmackDown. I believe he's out for some European shows, but
I think that's it. I think I think the 14th, when's he? I think it's the 14th. So not next week, but the week after, I believe they're in Europe. So I think that's his first advertised show.
That's a long time. And they did a good job, the video package on Monday, but like, I feel like we need to get him out there.
Well, if I'm okay with him not being out there, but then The Rock has to be out there.
Sure.
So, like, if Cena's not there, like, and Rock in the presser had said something about, oh, he's off to do his real job now, you know, made that reference. And so I'm fine with him doing that and Rock coming out and explaining, hey, this is why. But again, it's going back to the old playbook from the Bloodline. Like, Roman didn't always need to be there. He had Paul Heyman to explain and keep those storylines going. You just had the hottest thing that I can remember in a long time, which is saying something given that some of the things that they've done with the Bloodline and Cody and all that over the last 2-3 years. You have the hottest storyline. To not be able to take advantage of that on Raw or SmackDown with some sort of live appearance by one of those two, it to me is going to be a huge miss. And that's how this momentum kind of comes to a halt. And that's the problem with booking if neither one of them can show up tomorrow night because they have other responsibilities, that's the problem of booking these two as heels that you want to show up and explain their actions, and yet they can't because of previous commitments. So that's how this thing can cool down.
100%. He's being advertised for March 17th, which is a Raw.
And
which is in Europe. And remember, the reports originally came to Raw going to Netflix. Those will air live during the day.
Okay.
And like, whatever time zone you're in, it's going to air at, you know, 1 o'clock Eastern just because they're over there. So he's advertised for a few Raws there. He's advertised for SmackDowns after Mania also. May 30th, June 13th, June 20th. So take that for whatever you want. I agree with you. I feel like even just a video package of them doing something backstage. We haven't seen one of those Rock promos on social media like we saw all of last year. Give me something like that. I'm fine waiting one more week, but we got to see something at least next week.
You have to have, but I think you're right. Even if Rock can't be there live tomorrow, you have to have some sort of fresh backstage promo or just fresh promo from wherever he is that he shoots on his phone, that he puts out on social media, and then they play back during the 3-hour SmackDown tomorrow. Like that, you have to have something that keeps my interest going because you've got me hooked, but now you have to keep me hooked. Right. And not being able to capitalize that would be a huge mistake.
And even just Cody going out there and almost cutting a whiny promo and like challenging them, that doesn't do it for me. We've seen that enough from Cody where like, I need the interaction. I need the back and forth. So whatever it is, find a way to make it happen. I don't think we need Travis Scott, but just somehow, some way, get some way to move it forward tomorrow night.
What the hell was he doing?
I don't know.
like he legitimately hit Cody. Like, yes. Cena just turned heel and then had to like protect Cody Rhodes because Travis Scott was actually hitting the man. Like, just a wild scene of like, wait, he's actually hitting him. Did somebody tell him? Does he know what this is? What's going on right now? Is he not aware? Oh, but Cena has to win at Mania, right?
Yes. Because there's nothing after that. Like, even if you put the belt on him and he turns back to a face, like, I feel like he's got to get the run. You want him to have the record over Flair. I know they're imaginary and they're made up records, but like, you want Cena to be that guy.
Rick's not happy about
that. That is true. Anyway. Rick said you have to go through him. So
yeah, please don't. Yeah. Please don't. But like, to me, if he turns heel and then Cody wins anyway.
Right.
To me, that makes Cody worse.
Sure. I agree.
Because like, oh, okay. Like Rock and Cena are heels and like, he just overcomes them. No problem. Right. Like if you want to have Cody win again down the road, you know, cool, let's do that. But yeah. Cody hasn't faced much adversity as champion, and this is the first time he really had. Well, I shouldn't say that because the KO stuff, especially, you know, two months ago, back in January, you know, I think that was, we were hoping for KO. But now we've got something even bigger, but Cena's got to win this one.
I completely agree. And I'm sure, you know, the match will be like last year's. It'll be schmozzy. It looks like Stone Cold sort of dropping hints. Like maybe we hear the glass shatter, which would be amazing, would add to that moment. But yes, Cena winning is the way to end the night. And also you don't need both. Like the only pushback, I guess, is then both world champions are dropping their belts. Cause you assume Jay's beating Gunther.
Look, Cena just like we're living in a post Luka Doncic was traded and John Cena turned heel world. Anything is possible. Anything is like you have to consider everything. That everything has to be on the table.
Eric Collins in the chat said he's here for Flair and Cena. We can see a death in the ring. Which
no, I don't want to see. Like I love Rick. All right, yeah. I love Rick. I don't want to actually see the man die in the ring.
We already saw that happen. Like, his heart stopped.
Technically,
like, we had
technically
that
already happened, yes. Technically, I guess that already happened.
He told us on this show that Andrade had to wake him up, like, hey, it's time for the finish, because he was dead or asleep in the ring. One of the two.
Yeah, because his heart just, man, yeah. Like, there's no one in their good, who has a conscience can listen to the stories that man has told about that match and let him back in a ring. You just can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah, it's on your hands if you do, like... As simple as that.
All right, we've got some other stories to dive into, but obviously there's going to be plenty of time to continue to break this down. Hopefully we get some sort of continuance of this story tomorrow on SmackDown. But we've got to get to our other big three stories. We've got a big pay-per-view coming up this weekend for AEW. Obviously, we have a lot of things happening in WWE as well. We call it the three count. What do we got at number one this week?
We'll start in the world of AEW Revolution this Sunday night in Los Angeles. 9 matches announced so far. 1 for 0 hour. AJ and Big Boom will be there. What will be the biggest story to come out of AEW Revolution?
So Will Ospreay versus Kyle Fletcher, Okada versus Brody King for the Continental Championship, MJF versus Hangman, Hurt Syndicate versus the Outrunners for the tag team titles, Mercedes Moné versus Momo for the TBS Championship, Swerve versus Ricochet, winner is the number one contender, Timeless Toni Storm versus Mariah May for the Women's World Championship, that's Falls Count Anywhere now, Takeshita taking on Kenny Omega for the International, and then Moxley versus Cope, all of the matches that are happening. I think Cope's winning. So that's going to be the biggest thing. I think Cope's going to win. And anytime you have your top championship move, I think that's going to be the biggest thing. The Death Riders have come this far. They had kind of revived it, almost killed it again last night in a very strange, don't understand the match that Cope and Wheeler decided to have. And then Wheeler, this guy showed me respect. He shook my hand. I'm turning my back on John Moxley now. I'm like, what?
Like, yeah.
So I don't know what that was. So I think the Death Riders dying a hopefully quick death is going to be the biggest thing for me coming out of Revolution.
If we're going by betting odds, Bet Online, Mox minus 200 favorite. So it's small.
Not a heavy favorite, but...
Right. There are a lot of those on this card. You look at a lot of the champions. Tony Storm, Hurt Syndicate, Okada. They're all minus 2,500. Mercedes minus 2,000.
I can't tell you what I would give for Brody King to win that match. I mean, the dude never, literally never wins. No. They never let this man win, and he continues to be so over with every damn crowd he goes in front of.
Everything he does.
Take a bleeping hint and let this man win. Like, he's booked as a monster that always loses. He's right.
I 100% agree with that. So, like, looking at this card, it's an AEW pay-per-view. It's going to deliver. It's going to be amazing from top to bottom in terms of the actual wrestling in the ring. I just feel like with the main event scene, it's so just, I'll get it over with, that it's not a big story by the time the show ends Sunday night. I think there's something with MJF and Hangman. And we saw some great segments last night, the backstage stuff. Like, there's something there that match maybe crosses the line. We're like, ooh, what did those two do? And eventually the winner of that ends up becoming one of the faces of this company.
The old MJF is back.
Oh, he's like, back.
I feel like we lost him for a little bit.
Yes.
I mean, he's up to his old tricks, hiring a body double backstage, which is just a genius heel move. Like, you know, a lot of times, especially, you know, in the go home show, like the heel is booked like a dumbass. And yet he, you know, smartly outmaneuvers Hangman Adam Page, almost sets the dude on fire.
Yes. But it's not his fault. You know, he's trying to explain his point.
Yeah. So like that Swerve and Ricochet are the hot. Well, and Timeless Tony Storm versus Mariah May. Like that still has a lot of fun in it for me. But there are some, yeah, to your point, I think there are some good things that have a little bit of momentum behind them.
And I would say the MJF Hangman and the Swerve Ricochet, both those matches, you can make a case for either guy winning and it making sense and it's not hurting the other one. And like that to me adds to the fun of some of the pro wrestling matches where you're like, all right, who's going to win this? Like Tony, you assume is going to win. The tag titles are going to stay. Takeshita Kenny, I guess you go either way. Like there's a lot of those, I guess even Ospreay and Fletcher. Like, Ospreay seems to be in that Brian world of he doesn't ever want to win. So I could see him laying down and letting Fletcher get a win in the steel cage. So it's going to be a fun show Sunday night, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, Ospreay versus Fletcher. The problem is I don't know where you put that on the card. Right. Like, I don't think you can start with it. But you also don't want to put it – like, I don't know, but maybe you have to start with it.
There are no breaks for the crowd on this show. Because even like the tag match, which probably won't be great, it has the Outrunners in it, which is so over. Like, so that's going to get the crowd. I guess Mercedes and Momo probably gets no reaction.
But I don't know. Like, I still think that's got a chance to like steal that. Well, I mean, it's a card that features Will Ospreay in a cage match. So, it's really tough to steal the show. But like, Momo, like... People don't necessarily know her, and she's been barely introduced on AEW television. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say barely. Like, she has been featured on AEW television, but the feud kind of came out of nowhere. But she can go. Like, and we've been seeing a better version of Mercedes, you know, kind of having to work through the ring rust and, you know, overcoming injuries and not being doing it for a little while. Like, we've been seeing her have some really good matches. Like, I think that's going to be a really good match.
Yeah, I agree. And I think every match on this card has that potential. I mean, you're getting Kenny in a one-on-one match in a pay-per-view. Like, we haven't seen that in a very long time. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get him and Takeshita, which we've seen what those two do in the ring together. So there's a lot of opportunities there. But then, you know, ending the night with Mox and Cope, it just feels like the night's going to end in almost disappointment, no matter which way that goes.
I don't think so. Like, Cope winning a world championship, like, he's over enough generally, right? Like, he's big enough, and the second that his music hits after, you know, you pin 1, 2, 3, like, people are going to be excited. Like, is it going to be the biggest pop, like, you know, when Bryan Danielson won? No, it's not going to be like that. But it's I don't think it's just going to be people sitting on their hands going, okay, let's go home. No, like, Adam freaking Copeland just won a world championship for the first time in, like, 15 years, like, or 12, or however many ever it's been. Yeah, long time. It's been 10 plus years since the man's won a world championship. And if they put it on him on Sunday night, like, that's going to be a moment worth celebrating to me.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And I'm fine with that. And like, just top to bottom, there's so many good stories. They're in a good spot right now. Like, even a lot of these matches, like, one of our complaints usually is, hey, there's going to be great matches, but there's no stories. Yes, you still have those matches. Like, Okada and Brody sort of feels like that. But there is some good storytelling going on.
What did
right
I miss?
Now.
How did Brody even – I can't even remember how Brody got this opportunity.
He beat Buddy – or Okada beat Buddy, and Buddy is hurt now, I think. Yeah. I think he rolled his ankle in that match.
Okay.
So then Brody barked and got the shot. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss somehow Brody came winning something on television.
I remember a backstage segment. I remember nothing of it, though. I remember those two face-to-face. I don't even know.
Yeah, I remember when they went face-to-face. And I guess they, you know, maybe they just flashed the graphic on the bottom and Excalibur happened to miss it.
But look at all these other stories. Swerve and Ricochet, MJF and Hangman, even Hurt Syndicate and Outrunners. The fact that you have a story there, that Outrunners got the win, they're so excited. They got a music video out of it. Like,
there have been some good backstage interactions with the Hurt Syndicate and the Outrunners.
Osprey and Fletcher, Takeshita and Kenny, Tony and Mariah. They are telling stories right now. The biggest knock on AEW is their storytelling, and there really are no holes on this card. We're like, oh, well, there's no story there. Like, it is solid top to bottom.
Like you said, the biggest one is probably Okada and King, and they did a little bit of something. But that's still going to be a match that you're not going to be like, oh, I can't believe I got to watch Okada versus Brody. Like, no, you're going to be excited to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be pissed when Brody King loses despite dominating the entire match. But, they, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Right.
But it is going to be good. And I really do hope that despite being a huge Mox fan, that they just let's end this thing. Mox and everybody can kind of go away for a little while and get rebooted some other way.
Just pull the Band-Aid off at this point.
Yep. Yep. All right. What do we got at number two?
Other surprises, Monday Night Raw on Netflix, Rhea Ripley dropping the women's title to Io Sky the night after we found out that Bianca would be going to Mania. So what's the direction for Rhea Ripley now?
I had a friend who kind of loosely follows pro wrestling. And like if he's free, because he also works in media, like he'll come over, watch the Rumble, maybe watch Mania. So he starts paying attention a little bit, you know, not necessarily watching on Netflix, but he texted me today. And let me see if I can pull up the exact text that he had asked me, because I don't want to...
You're a journalist. You don't want to misquote.
Correct. Other question. Io Sky just winning a title on Raw. What is this? The 90s?
That's a good point.
Everybody was shocked that this had happened.
I watched Raw the next day, and I happened to be sort of spoiled the night before. I saw a tweet saying, new champion. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of title matches. So I'm like, oh, tag titles, I see. Like, didn't even think about Rhea. I was like, oh, there's the other two title matches. One of those changed hand. Like, yeah, that makes sense. There's no stories there. Just flip the belts for the sake of flipping the belt. Then when both those matches ended and they're still champions, I'm like, did I read that wrong? Like, was I spoiled incorrectly?
Now you're like, oh, did I see a bad account? Like, was I in the wrong part of Twitter? Like, I got duped.
Yes.
It was not Adam Schefter. It was a darn Schefter that was doing the reporting. Really weird because they had kind of hinted at Io versus Rhea for Mania. And I made the case that I thought that Io should have been in the chamber and won the chamber. Because again, Io Sky in the chamber is just going to do insane things. Like that would have been entertaining. So for her to beat Rhea was just, like the whole thing, like the match was good.
Yeah.
But then like the whole thing where I don't even know how Bianca wasn't even ejected from ringside.
Right.
Like with her interaction with Rhea.
Like, why did she care? Like, obviously she cared because who's going to face, but like, why is she getting involved in that regard? And that's why, like, even, I mean, the obvious pass seems to be a triple threat. That doesn't feel right.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And so, like, so now I'm grasping at straws, right? Like, I'm thinking, okay, does Becky come back and they somehow weave a Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley? Because Becky's talked about wanting to tell meaningful stories, doesn't necessarily need a championship. This is a way to, but Rhea's over, like, Rhea's been the woman in WWE the last 2 years.
Yes.
So
I would have made the case, Rumble be damned, Rhea and Bianca could main event night one.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. For the title, put those two in the main spot, one-on-one. Like, that's a main event.
We've been, after Bianca won, at the chamber, it's like, okay. All right. I'm more curious about the Jade Cargill stuff, if we're being honest. Right. But sure. You know what? Rhea versus Bianca is one of those matches, if you're a wrestling fan, that you've had written down of, okay, whenever these two actually face off, this is going to be at Mania. This is going to be a big deal. So while I would have hoped for a better build, it's still going to be Bianca and Rhea. Like, this thing's still going to slap. It's still going to be really good. And they've got an opportunity in 6 weeks to tell something meaningful, something fun, to get us to a really good spot. And then just to have Rhea drop it. And now, yeah, because the only thing that makes sense is a triple threat. I don't think you're leaving. You can't leave Rhea off the card completely. Like, she has to have something because she's that level of a star.
Right. And that's why I guess Becky makes sense. Because you almost think of it like in that KO role where it's like, all right, you're not the main event, but you bust your ass, you get a good spot. All right, how about Stone Cold Steve Austin? Like, great. But, like, we've seen Trish a bunch. Like, I don't know if we want to see Lita, and, like, you can't really make a story. Like, there has to be something special for Rhea.
Yeah. And that's – and again, like, the only thing that makes out that sense that's out there would be Becky.
Right.
But I don't know, like, Becky's pretty active on social media. Like, if that's the direction they wanted to go, you would think that there would be hints. There would be, especially the way Triple H likes to drop clues backstage, right, and you have to pay attention to what's going on in the background. Like, I would have thought that there would have been some sort of, like, tease towards some sort of conflict between these two. But it just, I mean, again, it's shock value. You know, you got to make sure you're watching, you know, Raw on Netflix or SmackDown. You never know what's going to happen. But to happen this close to Mania was kind of head-scratching.
And also, just from a, like, storytelling standpoint, it was like 2 months ago, maybe longer, we had Bianca on this show.
Yeah.
And we asked her, like, hey, who do you want for Mania? And she said Rhea. She said both their careers are on the upward, but they always ran parallel and they never interacted. And that would be the perfect opportunity. Didn't need a belt involved. She would just love those two to go at it. And there's a story to tell there. And you had that opportunity to where, I mean, is there a way Io drops it again in the next 2 weeks?
But why give it to her? I mean, because Io's super over, right? And,
yes.
And she's a former world champion already. So it's not like, oh, let's get her first world championship.
Like, if it's just for the sake of the shock, like, in 2 weeks, hey, I want my rematch now, Rhea wins, and then you get Rhea and Bianca, and then Io's left out in the cold then, unfortunately.
Yeah. But because that's what this kind of feels like. It kind of feels like, well, because Bianca's already locked in. So it feels like, okay, Rhea or Io has to be the odd woman out. Well, what if we just do a triple threat? And this is how we get to the triple threat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just... And that seems unfortunate, and it just seems like that happens no matter who's booking every WrestleMania, especially now that you have two nights of WrestleMania. It's big. It's bloated. You've got a lot of matches to get to, and as big as WWE is right now, like, you want to make sure that all your stars are featured. Something doesn't feel right about this.
Right. We spoke last week about, is the women's division booked well in the WWE? Because there's so many opportunities to tell stories and they just don't. And this feels lazy, where it's like, oh, we got to get Io, we got to get Rhea, we got Bianca. Oh, you're all in one match. The same way we see on the men's side with all the mid-carders, like, all right, ladder match for the IC title or the Andre Battle Royal. Like, hey, you're on WrestleMania. And that's what this feels like. This feels lazy in terms of the women's booking.
And I don't know. I feel like there was a better way to do this, because the other thing is, for Rhea and Bianca, that doesn't need to be for a championship. Like, those two are big enough, and you could build that into such a big thing. It doesn't need to have a championship on the line. So I could have seen something where, you know, maybe Rhea, who is the champion, thinks she's going to WrestleMania, somehow costs Bianca. Right, in the elimination chamber, somebody else wins there. And then to get revenge, Bianca, you know, costs Rhea, Io. Now you've got multiple stories that you can tell, right? You've got Io versus maybe an up-and-coming challenger, and that's going to be a great match because Io is probably the best technical wrestler that they have in the women's division in WWE. So that's going to be a banger. And then you have this, you know, just two Goliaths within that division going head-to-head. And it doesn't have to be for a championship. And now you're telling stories without a championship, which so many women have told us on the show is something that they want to do within their respective divisions.
Yeah. And I think also to that point, like we've talked about, we've seen enough of Rhea and Liv, but if you did Liv and Io, I'd be fine with that. Like Liv deserves the opportunity. Also, she's been front and center this whole year and has been a big part of what WWE is doing. Like, so you get her in there, you get Rhea in there. Like you mentioned, we still have the Jade part. Jade and Bianca is the ultimate. Oh, I want to see what happens when those two go at it. You have a division that you can book and throw stuff out there, and they just choose not to.
Yeah. And so it looks – because, again, the only thing that makes sense at this point is the triple threat.
Right. And I don't know. And, like, the way they're doing some of these swerves, like, you know, we're getting Rollins and Punk on Monday at the Garden, and that means we're not getting it at Mania. We've seen the rumors. Is Roman going to still be thrown in there as a triple threat?
But I mean, but again, like, and Seth Rollins is the connective tissue there to make it a triple threat. So I don't know if Roman shows up and but again,
we have two nights of 4 hours. We don't need all these triple threat and multi-man and women matches.
Again, to me, Seth versus Roman is a fight forever situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like KO and Sammy. Yep. You can heat that up anytime you want, and you can make it really good. Like, it's going to be fantastic whenever you do, because they've got a fight forever feel and to be fantastic. So, but then adding CM Punk there, it's like, oh, I mean, Punk doesn't really have that many issues with Roman. Not like Seth does, right? Like, right. Seth has, like, this deep personal grudge against Roman Reigns. And the same thing with CM Punk. So, to, like, it just feels weird. So, I'm behind them being in a steel cage, but then I still don't want a triple threat with those three. I want a different direction. And maybe it just gets that.
I don't know. Like, yes, the Mania build that we started talking about with Cena, like, we're excited about the build. There's a lot of question marks right now on that roster. I was like, hey, are there plans for that person for Mania? Like, it's just very odd where they're at right now.
Like Sammy.
Sammy, KO, Drew.
Well, KO, I think. Yeah, KO, yeah. I think KO Orton is out there.
Drew? Like, Drew and Priest? Like, that's a step down for Drew. Like,
yeah.
And it's a good problem to have. You have this much talent, but, like, still give us stories, though. Like, if you're telling stories for multiple months, like, KO and Orton don't need a title because there's a story being told there.
Yep.
But, like,
in a very long-term story.
Yes. So, like, that Mania payoff. Like, that's awesome. But, like, Roman's just sort of around. Solo and Fatu, like, are they going to have a spot on Mania? Like, we know we'll see them, but, like, where are we at with them right now?
Yeah.
It's very odd where they're at.
Yeah, but again, that's where, going back to Cena turning, mm-hmm. like, it certainly heats up the excitement, mm-hmm. but it doesn't fix all the problems you have.
Right.
Right. I mean, it draws excitement. It draws a lot of excitement and it gets you a lot of attention in a lot of places, and good for you. But you still got other work you got to do in order to make the other, you know, 13 matches that you're going to have between the two nights work and make sense.
Like, you can't have Kaiser and Penta again for the 400th time, even though Penta's been there for 2 weeks. Like, that shouldn't be a Mania match. Like, have something else for Penta to do if you're going to push him up like you are.
Yeah, that's. I told you that I was worried about that from day one, man.
Uh-huh.
Right. And at least Rey Fénix is, you know, out now. So he's going to be in WWE. So maybe there'll be a tag team and they can, you know, wrestle American Made like 7 weeks
every
or
week. Yeah. Like, you, New Day's occupied with LWO. So they're doing that every week. Like, just, it's, I mean, a very much, hey, look at the shiny stuff over here and ignore everything else.
Poor Chad Gable, though. Another high-end luchador coming to WWE. So he's trying to figure all this out, man. Poor Chad Gable. All right. What do we got at number three this week?
All right. We talked about the heel turn of all heel turns, John Cena, this past weekend. He was the never say never guy. So let's say never. Who in wrestling can you say will never turn heel?
I mean, if Cena turned heel, like, I don't know if there's anybody left in either of the main, like, in any big promotion. Like even Bron Breakker, who is so young into his career, like, he's going back and forth already on the main roster.
What is he right now?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but, like, he's definitely been a babyface. He's definitely been a heel. I think he's kind of a tweener now. So, yeah. I don't know if there's anybody in major professional wrestling that has been a babyface and not really been a heel, or at least has been babyface for so long that, like, oh, I can't imagine them turning heel. Because I guess the Doctor of Thuganomics, like, probably a heelish character.
Yeah, but so, that was so long ago that I feel like no one even acknowledged. Like, we acknowledge it exists, but, like,
but that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, 20 years. You know, mm-hmm. Again, that's 20 years ago at this point, where he was just a face for 20 years. So I don't know, like, who even exists that could be that. Because we've seen Cody Rhodes as a bad guy. Like, that's what started the whole indie Cody thing, was him as a heel. And I see him becoming a heel at some point in his WWE tenure. Like, that is very clear to me that at some point the crowd, already kind of starting to happen, but the crowd is going to continue to turn on Cody and he'll have to become a bad guy. Like, it's just,
or
that's the natural
heel
order
in AEW. Like, I could see that. Like,
oh yeah.
So I wrote four down and I'm not confident in any of them. Like, it was a struggle to literally comb through both rosters and be like, all right, who can I make a case for here? So the four I wrote, starting with AEW, Orange.
Ooh, what would that look like? He starts trying?
Yeah, because that's like, I can still fantasy book him as a heel, but yeah, he starts trying, like, maybe isn't wearing the denim anymore. Like, he's tired of, like, the perception. Like, maybe.
Okay. Like, okay. All right. All right. I like it. I like it.
WWE, and again, all three of these, I can still make a case for them being heels eventually. Sammy.
Yeah, but, like, it wasn't that long ago that he was a pretty – he was associated with the biggest heel faction in professional wrestling.
But he was the baby face of that group. Like,
sure, but, like, he was still technically a heel.
All right. Bianca? Like, she's sort of in that Cena role. Like, she's the one that does all the PR. She's front and center. She's the one the kids love. Like,
I can see her being a heel, man.
Okay.
I just see it. Like, I can – and honestly, I was kind of hoping that, you know, like, even though it was Naomi who was getting attacked, like, right, Bianca was the mastermind behind it until – yeah, and maybe Bianca still is. I don't know.
And then the other one I wrote down, it takes some projecting and limited appearances, but Roman never going back to a heel.
Okay. So going the other way.
Like, he's just a face forever at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
so, like, you're just projecting forward, so it's not the full career thing, like the Cena part, but
yeah, but, like, I mean, if I'm saying who in wrestling will I say can never turn, and that's it, take the heel out of it. I mean, Paul Heyman's the answer, right? Because even though Roman's a babyface right now,
okay,
like, Paul's always a heel.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, like, he's done it twice now, where just the mere association with Paul Heyman means you are a heel. That's what happened, like, because when CM Punk initially turned, when he was WWE champion 14 years ago, and he, you know, he clotheslined The Rock, you know, that Raw, I think it was Raw 1000 is what that show was, closed out, and you're going, all right, well, I mean, is Punk really a heel? I mean, he could just hate The Rock, like, right, and not be a heel, right? Like, that's John Cena clearly hates The Rock and he's not heel. But then, because Punk became associated with Paul Heyman, like, that's what broadcasted to the world. Right. Hey, bad guy. This guy's a bad guy. And then when Roman Reigns came back, everybody wants to cheer him because, well, he recovered from leukemia. Right? Like,
right. Yeah, uh-huh.
Just huge sympathetic baby face. Within two episodes, he's next to Paul Heyman, like, well, guess he's a heel.
Right.
Can't be a good guy and associated with Paul Heyman. And even though everybody loves and respects Paul Heyman, they also know that his character is heelish.
Yeah.
So I don't think Paul Heyman can ever turn babyface.
Okay, I'm good with that one. And that one makes sense. But, like, he's still, like, tweener-ish, like,
yeah, look, I understand, and he, I guess he kind of turned babyface after he refused to acknowledge Solo Sikoa,
right?
And
he got put through a table.
Yeah, he got put through a table. But, like, I mean, he's gonna turn on Roman here.
Yeah, probably. Some in the chat, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, Rey can't be. No.
Yeah,
Rey can't. So, and for that point, Dominic might not be able to be a face.
That's interesting because I feel like it could be a big moment if he, like, him and Ray embrace when Ray's retiring or something and you flip Dom to a face.
No, if they embrace, he's going to kick his dad in the dick.
Well, yeah, he might, but maybe, you know, the other way.
Like Willow, good suggestion here from Christian.
But
like, we've seen unhinged Willow.
Right.
We haven't seen heel Willow. I feel
like
it's a slight difference.
I could book her turning heel, though, where it's like that. Like, it's that unhinged and, like, she's tired of the smiles and she wants to do this or that. Like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, it's a pretty simple. Because I think you would have said the same thing about Hugger Bailey.
Right. That's fair.
Right? Like, Hugger Bailey and Willow are very similar characters.
Yeah, Hugger Bailey with Cena. It's like, okay, yeah. You can never turn her heel because she's going to sell merch. She's going to hug kids. And then they turn her heel.
And then they turned her heel.
Jimbo, in terms of the turning, says Gunther should never be a babyface.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't see that one, how that would even look. Like,
yeah, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure. Because it's not like he's a dirty, you know, like he's just,
right.
He's just, I'm better than you, I'm stronger than you, uh-huh. And you're not on my level. Like, that can play like that forever.
So, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, Cena is definitely one of one because there's just, it's so hard to think of anyone else.
No, like, and again, like, of the list you came up with, like, Orange makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I think he just kind of has to stay that because of who the character is. Like, the closest we get is when he wore the black denim to the ring. You know, like, oh, now he means business.
Right.
He's not wearing the blue denim. He's got the black denim on. Right. This is a serious dark turn here for Orange Cassidy.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like in wrestling so often, like, it's just an easy, like, just turn them the other way. Like, just to try and freshen someone up, you flip them heel to face. Cena never did that. And, like, even, like, I guess Cody, if we go, like, long, in terms of, like, consecutive time, he might have the longest run as a face, but it's not going to be forever.
No. Like, I could see him turning within the next 2 years.
Right. So, that's insane. And even you look at the top of the WWE, like, there's a lot of over faces and they all could turn within a week or two.
Yeah.
Punk, I mean, Rollins, Roman.
Yep. Yep. So. Yep. Like, I mean, it didn't take much for KO to turn.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Like KO had a nice little run there as a baby face and then turned on Cody. And I mean, to me, he was still a baby face because he was right. Yes. Until he went after Sammy. Like that was to me when he turned heel.
Does Orton have another heel run?
Of course he does. He's Randy freaking Orton.
All right. But I wonder if they would keep him as a face. Like, he's so lovable now. New Randy.
Well, so what? Well, that's true. But if he would have been allowed to punt KO, would he have then immediately turned to a heel? Because that's his heel move. Like, that's the legend killer Randy Orton. I don't think we've seen babyface Randy Orton punting people in the face.
That's fair. But he's been it's been a long time as a face now, right? Like, it was the Riddle, then I guess he had the injury time.
Yeah, I mean, he was, he was gone for like 18 months.
Right, okay.
You know, so he came, and then he had even more injuries that he had to deal with since he came back at Survivor Series last year.
So, that's very interesting.
What do we got at News and Notes this week?
All right, we saw her re-sign with the WWE back in July. Natalya. Well, she's staying busy. We haven't seen her much on actual WWE television, but she's working some other places. Announced this week, April 17th, Vegas. She'll be part of Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Last year, Mania Weekend saw Shayna Baszler as a part of that. Also announced, May 17th, ECW Arena. She'll be part of the NWA Crockett Cup.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, the more that everybody works together, the cooler everything becomes. Like, I don't ever expect AEW to have a presence on WWE and vice versa. But I think it's cool if in some of these indie promotions like Bloodsport, you can have some, you know, again, you can have some crossing over of stars from both of those companies.
And it's also cool when it comes to the free agency part. Like, Natalya was a free agent recently, and we talked about it. It's like, hey, Natty hitting free agency sort of makes sense. Like, let her go work some places she hadn't worked before. But she re-signs to WWE where she's comfortable, where she's a locker room leader, and now she does this other stuff. Like, to be at the ECW Arena, to be wrestling for the NWA, to be a part of Mania Weekend, like, it's pretty cool that she's getting these opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that was something that we talked about with her of, okay, does she want to do these different things? Does she want to wrestle in Japan now that that's an option, you know, on a very high level for the women? So that's all that seems like it could potentially be open.
Yeah. Tuesday night, big show on TV, NXT Roadblock from the theater at Madison Square Garden. So sort of Madison Square Garden. Pretty packed card for NXT. NXT title on the line. Obafemi defends against Moose. The TNA tag titles are on the line as the Hardy Boys defend against Nathan Frazier and Axiom. A title for title match, NXT Women's and North American title, Julia versus Stephanie Vaquer, Jordan Grace versus Roxanne Perez, and Javon Evans versus Ethan Page in a New York street fight.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
So that, find the CW. And that's just on CW.
Good thing they didn't do that this last week when they didn't air in some of the major markets because of the president's speech. So, you know, good call on them to be able to, you know, make sure you're doing it the right way.
Yeah, so good on them. MJF, in an interview with Sports Illustrated, talking about his contract, says any reports about how much he's making are, quote, a little on the underside. He said by the time his contract's done, he'll make over $15 million, and he'll continue to be one of the highest-paid superstars. He also added, if you ask a WWE star, have you been watching AEW, and they say no, then they're either lying or they don't care about the business.
So a couple of things. First of all, the reaction that some people had to him making $15 million. Like,
yeah.
I get maybe I'm the outlier. Maybe I'm the weird professional wrestling fan. I don't know what they make. I have no idea. Yeah. Like sometimes that info comes out. Sometimes it doesn't. Like I have a hard time ballparking, you know, like if we're talking about wide receiver free agents or this guy's going to be hitting the market in baseball, like I know that because a lot of that information is public. And also a lot of times it affects your favorite team. Like there's a salary cap, all these different things. Good for you. If that's the money you're making, MJF, like, I don't care. Like, I don't care what anybody's really making. I hope they're making enough that, you know, they can provide for their families and themselves. But after that, I guess I just don't care. It's not like WWE has a salary cap. Same thing with AEW. Like, so if that's what somebody's willing to pay you, that's the going rate. Good for you. I guess I didn't understand like the outcry of like, I can't believe he's making that much. Like, well, how much is he supposed to be making? Right. I literally have no idea.
Stupid wrestling Twitter, basically. Like you said, there's no salary cap. Soraya's brother is now a free agent. Like, okay. It's not because MJF's making a lot of money. It's because they don't know what to do with him. Like,
correct.
What does it matter? Like, they have these funds. They're paying guys. The more guys are getting paid and have opportunities to go to different places, that's better for us as wrestling fans.
And as for his quote, I think I agree. And I think, clearly Cody pays attention. Like, Cody's paying attention over there. Like, the couple of times we've had him on here, he's brought up AEW unprompted. Right? Like, I mean, he's your biggest guy over there. I believe that. Do I think Triple H is sitting down every Wednesday night to watch Dynamite? I do not. Do I think he kind of generally has an idea of what's going on over there? Yeah, of course he does. Right? Like, if he had no idea what was going on in AEW, why was it such a big deal they brought in Ricky Saints? if he's not paying attention to AEW, he should have no idea who that guy is.
Tony Khan was asked today on the media call, like, hey, do you feel like you need to do something drastic this weekend because of John Cena heel turn? And Tony didn't act like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, John Cena turned heel? Like, yeah, he acknowledged, like, oh, yeah, that happened, but I'm going to stick to my course. Great.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because, again, you never know where you're going to get inspiration from, mm-hmm. right? Like, by listening to this or watching this and seeing that. Like, that's just –
does Tony have to respond? Do they have to do something big this weekend because of Cena?
I don't think so. Unless they can make it make sense. Like, I don't think you respond just to respond, right? Like, I don't even know what they could do, like, to even respond. Like, there's nothing they can do to, like, respond. That.
Cope turns heel? Cope aligns with Mox?
Please no. Please don't. Don't extend this anymore. Like the finger poke of doom? Like what are we doing?
And then they open the briefcase and the pigeons come out. And it's a grand old time.
Yeah. So I don't think there's anything they could do to even respond. But clearly you're going to be paying attention to what everybody else is doing around the industry because that's how you get better. That's how you kind of, you know, improve off of everybody else.
Finally, news and notes, the latest reports for the newest Hall of Famers, the Natural Disasters, set to be inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame. They will join Triple H and Michelle McCool in this year's class.
Earthquake and Typhoon. I am not as familiar with them, more early 90s, as, you know, for them, as I think they were part of Ted DiBiase. They joined him. They were aligned with him for a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, good.
I mean, those guys.
I like the fact that they, you know, they want to try to figure out a way to make it cross. You know, it's not just, oh, a bunch of people from the Attitude era or a bunch of people from this era. Like, I like the fact that the Hall of Fame class is kind of spread out over.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Natural Disasters are some of those guys. I feel like I remember them as a childhood, like, obviously larger than life, the size they are. But the two of them were such a big presence. Earthquake passed away, you know, almost 20 years ago now. So it's unfortunately not part of that. But those are guys you're like, oh, yeah, those are a legit tag team. Like, they're in those big-time matches. They deserve to be in that spot. So it's interesting to see them get that opportunity finally, and I'm glad they get that chance.
All right, what did you have for your matches of the week?
Started with Elimination Chamber, which I thought overall was a really good card, like from top to bottom.
I think Elimination Chamber has the opportunity at the end of the year to be pay-per-view of the year.
I don't think that's crazy at all to say. Like,
I think it's got a really good chance. Now, it could be surpassed, but like, and I know it's early. You know, we're 2 months into 2025. But I mean, from start to finish, it was incredibly strong. And then, of course, you had like this.
The
this
moment of the year, turn. Yes.
Yeah. But like, I mean, because also I think Sami KO has got an opportunity to be match of the year.
So that's the funny part. Like, those two are going to always deliver. And I don't know if I almost put them to the side like the same way I do Ospreay matches, but like, I thoroughly enjoyed the Women's Chamber match.
Yeah, that was really good too.
Like
the way it started, like the way Jade comes, you know, flying in.
That was so well done. And like the way Liv played it up, and like everyone, even in their chambers, the way they played it up, like that was really well done. That was my match of the night, because KO and Sammy are always going to be the match of the night. So I almost put them to the side.
Yeah, but it was so good.
Uh-huh.
But it just... Every time you thought, okay, this is going to be the end. Oh, no, they have more?
Right.
Oh, what did you just dive into on the outside? Yeah. Oh, what? Oh, that's a chair with barbed wire on it. Okay, all right, naturally, of course. Foolish me. I thought the match was going to be over before we got to the chair with barbed wire on it.
And, of course, those two made sure it got out to the media. Those were not gimmick chairs or barbed wire.
Right? So, so sick.
I had from Raw, I enjoyed Io and Rhea, but I really enjoyed the tag match, the Creed brothers and the War Raiders.
Okay.
Star press, I don't know which Creed is which, but
yes,
that shooting star press is ridiculous.
Again, I'm always uncomfortable with the Creeds because they don't wear knee pads, but
okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Again, so then to do something like a shooting a star press, like I just, it's very uncomfortable. I oddly really enjoyed Gunther versus Otis.
Sure.
Like, I thought, again, because, like, you think, okay, you're putting, you know, Gunther versus Otis on this card. Like, it's going to be a squash match. But, like, Otis is defending the honor of his buddy Tozawa. And, like, I thought, like, put some real threats into the eyes of, which, again, good job by Gunther of selling. But, like, some of the different stuff that they did in terms of showing off the strength of Otis and putting a real scare into Gunther... Because, like, clearly Gunther's going to take this match light because he thinks that Otis is a joke. And then Otis punches him in the mouth and he doesn't know what to do. Like, again, the psychology of the entire match, I just thought was really cool for them to do that. And I thought Otis came out looking really good.
There's something there with Otis. Like, he is getting over. I know it's, like, the comedic part also, but, like, he delivers in the ring. I feel like we never got the true great blow-off with Gable. Like, you had the, like, hey, I'm going to leave you, and then, like, it just sort of happened backstage. But I feel like if they push him a little bit more, there might be something special there with Otis.
Yeah, like they clearly pushed him way too early. I mean, what was this, 5 years ago at this point when he won the Money in the Bank briefcase? Like, again, and then he ended up losing it to The Miz.
Right. Like I was going to say, him winning Money in the Bank could be a possibility and could be fun. Even though, ignore that it happened already.
Yeah, exactly. Because he never actually got to cash it in because he lost it before he could cash it in. I'm with you. Like, it was too soon, and he had the storyline going on with Mandy Rose, and they were trying to make that a thing. And but it seems like there's some real momentum, and the fact that they let him be serious in the ring, like, tells me either that was a trial balloon of, hey, let's see what this guy can do, And to me, he passed with flying colors, if that was the case.
The other one I'll throw out from Dynamite, I really enjoyed the promo segments last night, the Tony and Mariah backstage thing and the Swerve and Ricochet. Like, the way they all delivered. Ricochet, kudos to him. Like, the way he's gotten that heel character over, it works right now. And even, like, wearing the hat so they can't, you know, call him bald and things like that. Like, it's working right now for Ricochet.
Collision, what they started the show with, the tag match between Undisputed Kingdom and FTR was really good.
And FTR doing the sportsmanship.
Yeah, right? Like that. No, we don't want the win. Like, we don't want the win. Like, that probably dragged on a little too long for me. Yeah. But, like, the actual match and the action, that all that was spectacular. Yes.
I mean, solid week, pay-per-view this weekend, but things are cooking.
Yeah, things are cooking. Again, Revolution coming up this weekend. The build for WrestleMania continues. Who knows when we see The Rock and Cena again. If you want to catch up on old shows that we have, some of the other special content, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. And again, if you missed our guy Jay Hood tonight, if you missed his commentary, well, you can always get the latest with Jay Hood. Sunday mornings, SiriusXM Busted Open, every Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. Revolution, Raw, SmackDown. So many things to dive into. We'll do it again next week right here on GKW.